I had my first get off my lawn moment as like a getting older person the other week. You want to hear about it?
Sure.
So I went to a wedding and
hold on, you were told to get off the lawn?
No. You know the term like get off my lawn, like an older person like telling a younger person how to like live or like they're doing things wrong?
No,
like,
get I've off never my heard lawn? Of that before.
No?
No, I literally thought that you meant that like a kid did something on your lawn and you told them.
Well, I think that's where it like starts. Like, but I think like the, I don't know, whatever type of phrase that is, like, get off my lawn. You're doing something wrong. I'm right. I'm the old wise person. All right, here.
I'm happy now that you're not yelling at kids in the neighborhood
No, I don't do that. So anyway, back to the original point. Thank you for clarifying. So I was at the wedding and the party or the, event, was either playing, or the DJ was either playing like your typical line dancing music. So anything from the Cupid Shuffle to the Electric Slide, which was great, right? That's what's supposed to happen on the wedding. Everybody gets involved. Great. And then the other half of it, or like intertwined in it, was just pure music that I have never heard before. So it was like, you know,
New music,
whether it was like rap or, whatever other genre it was. But it was like, to me, it was like, you know, what, like, where are the classic, you know, wedding songs where everybody's singing and dancing? And I had to step back and be like, it's not my wedding. You know, it's not my, it's not my job to control the music. And it was really like, to me, I had to like, oh man, this is what, you know, I guess a wedding 10 years ago or when I was in that younger stage in my life probably sounded to someone who was, you know, older at the wedding later, you know.
Were the bride and groom having fun?
Oh yeah. So that's why I had to take the step back and be like, chill out, Brian. It's okay. But yeah, everybody had a great time. Everybody was dancing and everybody was, you know, to whatever lyrics they were saying out there. And I had my get off my lawn moment in my head and, you know, had to take a step back. But it was really nice. Do you ever have one of those moments?
I'm sure.
I mean, I think it happens all the time, right? Yeah. I'm guessing you probably have it as like a parent sometimes as well, right? Like, something that's going on with your kids and you have to kind of take a step back and say, I was probably doing that same thing when I was 12, 11, 13 years old.
Oh yeah. I mean, we absolutely talk about that a lot. Like having like one graduating eighth grade and like transitioning into middle or high school. Yeah. Like, yeah, lots of what was that time like and like what she's doing and
a little reflection,
exposure to stuff. And yeah. That's really funny, though. All right. I don't know. Did you dance, though? That's really my question here.
No, yeah. Did not.
But I didn't think you were included in the everybody.
No, did not dance. I was tapping my foot a little bit as I was sitting, but no dancing. Just all right. Well, thanks for letting me tell my story. Are you ready for this podcast? Mm-hmm. All right. 3, 2, 1. All right. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Bell. I'm Ryan Apina, the principal over at the middle school.
And I'm Stacey Arts, principal at Tabernacle Elementary School.
So we are doing a special episode today that is a little bit different than our typical episode in the fact that we don't have a guest, but we are going to try to talk a little bit about our book club book, Thrivers, that we had a meeting with last week with our book club community. And we wanted to just to branch out today and talk a little bit more about it, about what our book club was about, or our first book club meeting was about last week. And we wanted to, just offer it out again to the community, let everybody know what we talked about, and then offer it out as if you want to, you know, continuously join our meeting. So we wanted to bring that to you today.
I think that kicking off the book club this summer was a really great like new opportunity for us to try to connect a little bit differently with staff, parents, you know, the community in general. And I think that this first meeting really gave us that opportunity. And I think that there was a lot of value in it. And I think that those who attended or have interest in attending and will be in the future are really, you know, had a positive experience. And I think it's important that, you know, it's a different way to reach new or additional people.
Yeah, we had a nice little mix of people too. We had a few TES parents, a few OMS parents. Shout out to Ms. White and Ms. Gulick, staff members who were there and part of the conversation. So I think it was nice to kind of hear a lot of different, you know, opinions about the book. Obviously, we only talked about the first two chapters, essentially, but it was nice to have that nice mix of conversation about the first, you know, section of the book. We talked a lot about, you know, what that definition or what the key highlight of the book was just like, you know, students who are striving, but failing to thrive. What was your take on that conversation? Like, did you agree with that initial point of the book, or did you kind of feel like it was simplistic or basic?
No, I think I completely agree. And I think it sounded like, you know, in our conversation that everybody really understood where she was going with the concept and was able to kind of relate it to their own lives or to, you know, the kids that we have in school. Because I think that was, you know, throughout, I think the entire conversation, you know, the majority of the people in the book club have children.
Yeah.
And also in some way are connected to schools, whether it be our school. We had some teachers from other schools that are also parents of kids in our school. So I think there was this like balance the entire time. And like, I even found myself kind of doing it, like when I'm trying to think of, okay, well, what's my experience with my own kids versus like, what do I see in school? Because like, what's the intent? Like, what's our intent on the book club, right? Like, are we trying to improve like our own, like, are we supposed to like, you know, it's supposed to impact us like personally in our own lives. Are we looking to then how can we use this in our schools?
Yeah.
So I think there was like a balance. And I felt that like the entire time, kind of this like undercurrent of like, are we talking about like our kids?
I had to,
those kids out there.
I had to balance it too, or at least attempt to balance it, because I think you're in a unique position, right? Because you have the viewpoint of TES students and OMS students, right? Because you kind of go through both. You have a through line in both buildings, where I have to really kind of put myself into that. When the author was talking about like the kindergarten student, I had to really like focus and put myself there because I've never had that experience with that particular age group and what that might look like and how character development for that age is different than character development for a seventh grader or an eighth grader. And although it's, as the author said, very important for both, you know, sections of students, it's hard for me to get to that younger age. So I thought that's interesting theme in the book that I have to kind of continue diving into.
That makes sense. But in terms of your first question, I think the idea is true. I think in a lot of ways, right, that our kids who are, you know, striving constantly, I think that there are so many expectations. There's so many, there is just everything going on around them today.
Right. Social media.
Everything. It's dramatic. Like,
yeah.
I think school expectations, right? Academic expectations have increased. Social expectations are astronomical.
Yep.
Activities involved in activities from the time that they're in like mommy and me classes. I think that's, there's just this like overall, just like we're there and we have to be there. And I don't know where that like started initially, like when exactly that shift came, but I think it is true. And I think that there is a struggle, right? They're not necessarily thriving. There's definitely something missing there. And I think that's what our goal of the book, right, is to try to be able to pull some of the ideas out and utilize them some way.
Right. And I guess that the way that the author was talking about that was to really kind of develop some of those character traits that will push them into those thriving situations where they're really developing that social awareness that will help them not only in school, but out of school and into the future, no matter what age they are. We talked a lot about those core traits, those core character traits. So the author talked about confidence, empathy, self-control, integrity, curiosity, perseverance, and optimism. And part of this, we asked the group, like, what do you think is of importance? A lot of people said the empathy was the number one. And then I think you brought up a good point was that how so many of them are or should be intertwined. So yes, you might say, you know, in empathy might be the most important, but it may be in different situations or different moments in their life that empathy might be secondary or might be third, or, you know, empathy bounces off of optimism. In order to be optimistic, you have to show some type of empathy. And I thought that was a really good point that you brought up in the meeting for something for the group to think about.
Well, and I think part of that thought process too is that like everybody is different, right? Everybody has their own character traits like innately. And I think those differ. And so kind of focusing on if we were to say, okay, which is, because I think we kind of started out the conversation about like, well, where should we focus? Like, right? Like what's, and for some students, there isn't the need to focus on certain traits. Right. And that's where I think in, is one really more important than the other? I don't know. I think you could argue that in any number of circumstances, there could be, you know, there are tons of variables. And you could, there are, I think at any point, any of them could be
the most important.
The most important.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I you know, we have our different character ed programs within the district. That we try to emphasize, you know, those words and those traits that we want, you know, a whole student to have. And I wonder if I'm thinking about it as a student now, are there some things that hit more for a student? Is there, or do they hold that value differently for the different words and what they enjoy learning about or enjoy doing more than, you know, those other words were, you know, showing off or doing for others, which I think is important. The last thing we talked about in the meeting, or it was kind of like, it was like a homework challenge I had, was something that the author brought about using intentional language with your student or with your child. And something that was emphasized in the book was talking about a simple question was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And that would be something, you know, any number of things that the student can answer, teacher, doctor, you know, whatever. But really the question should be like, who do you want to be when you grow up? And trying to get that the child to realize that they may want to be a teacher, but what makes the teacher a good quality person? Is it because they're empathetic or because they're trustworthy or because they're kind? And that's really what we should be striving for within a child. You know, who do you want to be? Well, why do you want to be them? What do they give off that is important? So I thought it was interesting that intentional language, the way that you ask questions is important to the development that you're trying to emphasize.
I think it definitely, the language we use, and I think the view that we have on what that looks like when you're, if we're talking like in this scenario specifically about like the future, I think that, you know, those same moms and dads who are overscheduling their kids because of whatever the societal expectations are, right? Then there is a view on, well, what is success, right? Like, what do we want our kids to look like? 5, 10, 15 years from now, as opposed to like who they really are, like what is our goal as like parents or teachers or a community? Like, what's our goal? Like, do we see success as, you know, a certain career path? mm-hmm. or do we see it in happiness?
Right.
And I think that's like, there's a shift. And I think that's what some of this is saying, right? Like we need to kind of shift how we're saying things and then, mm-hmm. you know, how we're looking at it as well.
Yeah, I am really intrigued on where the author kind of goes from here and what points she brings up in how to go about making that shift or that change so we can improve as adults, but also, you know, the children have, you know, a different viewpoint maybe on life and what that is. So that was kind of, in a nutshell, the first meeting recap. We have our next meeting, which is the 30th at 3:00. We're going to actually link all this into our podcast. So if you would like to get more information, if you'd like to jump on board for the book club, there'll be like a Google form that you can sign up for. We will then shoot you all the information and then we will continue reading Thrivers section by section. And we'll have two more meetings after the 30th. I believe it is July 30th, August 6th, and then August 20th for our last meeting. So we hope that you will join. We hope that you are now caught up, but we really would like this to be as big of a community event as possible.
Yeah. Reach as much of the community as we can.
Yes. All right. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on this episode of Beyond the Bell. We'll be back for our second book.
Hold on. I have one thing to share before we leave. So over the weekend, I was eating steak.
Oh, are we talking about French fries right now?
Well, I mean, we did eat. There were French fries involved. But then I had the whole like French fry condiment and like steak and ketchup conversation. And I shared that with everybody there.
And what was their general take on it?
Why would you eat ketchup with steak? Was really where.
Thank you. Point taken. All right. Thank you.